Birmingham Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. It's a local cricket special today. Loving this. Delighted, of course, that the local cricket scene is back after a delayed start to the season for understandable reasons. And right now, we are going to be talking to a representative from the Rolls-Royce of the Saracens, Hertfordshire Premier Division, defending champions, Radlett Cricket Club, and we have from them, representing them, Tony Johnston. Good evening, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Tony.
I really value your time. Always great to hear from you guys, as you are known, and it's no unfair moniker, as the Rolls-Royce of the Saracens Hertfordshire Premier Division, defending champions, of course. Yep. It's been, I guess, a bit of a strange season. This year, no promotion, no relegation, no championship, but always pride at stake. Before we drill into another excellent start to the season for you, just give us an insight, if you could, to some of the challenges that this challenging time has impacted upon you guys there at Radlett Cricket Club.
Well, it's, as you say, I won't use the word that everybody else is using, but it has been an extraordinary year. And I think for most of us, it was not clear whether we were going to start at all. So it's good news that we're at least going to get 9 games in, but subject to weather, of course. But from that point of view, it was very frustrating. We were ready in terms of players, juniors set up, all sorts of things were ready. The pavilion was in good shape, changing rooms, etc. Ground looking very good, but no go. So it was only until that time in July, just the beginning of July, when one day after being led to believe it was not going to happen, suddenly it was happening. So, yeah, it was very frustrating. But glad to be back.
I can imagine. And I'll tell you what, I'm delighted that the local cricket scene is underway. And again, another going through the gears, purring, if you would, start for Radlett, defending champions, of course, as they are. But just quickly, just to impact again on this bigger context, obviously you had to pivot quite quickly because, as you say, it was sounded like there was a time when there would be no cricket to talk about. What were the challenges in terms of fitness and team interaction? Because obviously there are certain restrictions which I still think to a degree are in place. Just talk to us about the practicalities of getting people ready for this protracted start to the season.
Well, that was, yes, as you say, in terms of training, boys had obviously been netting in the early part of the year, February time, but that's not like being out on the grass. Or in the nets. And the little challenge that we had ahead of others is that we had no nets. We dismantled the current nets on the basis that they were past their best. So I managed to get a new set of nets started, but couldn't finish because the builders, the chaps couldn't come in and finish them off. So we've now got 2 brand new nets on the top ground and 1 on the bottom. So the boys couldn't wait to get into those, but we couldn't have them, unfortunately, because we're at that stage in the March, April, May time, you weren't allowed to use nets, as you know. It was only later on that it became possible to use them. But even on that front, we were hamstrung because you could only use, you couldn't have adjacent nets. So with only 2, we could only use 1 for a while. But obviously, once that was up and running, the boys were into the nets very quickly. The juniors were on the bottom ground and having as much training as possible. But We had the added excitement of having Middlesex using our ground for training in a bio or COVID secure environment during the whole of July. So we were mixing and matching with them when we could use the place. The nets were fine, but the ground was not so easily available. So weekends were fine, but we couldn't play any cricket, of course. So not until July.
Massive challenges there. But again, I would say a testament to the prestige that Radlett holds and the quality of your facilities there, that our local county, Middlesex, have this strong relationship with you. So again, yes. It's sort of swings and roundabouts one, isn't it, I suppose?
Yes, it works very well, but it is it's matching the two. And both when we didn't think, when the first class game was going to start, as you know, but originally it was going to be April. Mm-hmm. Month by month that got put back, and then that came good in, they said, August, but we can train in July. Even in July we thought we weren't going to be playing recreational cricket. And then suddenly, one day later, after the vector of disease comment, we got going. So it's been a challenge, but it's worth doing from our point of view. And the boys have started well, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get into that just in 1 second. My final question, really, as it pertains to this bigger picture, what's the situation for Radlett in terms of overseas players this campaign? I know many of the teams around the league, for logistical reasons and for the obvious concerns, are kind of precluded from that this campaign. Have Yes. Radlett been able to find a way to have an overseas talent in your fold? Or again, is it much in line with most of the people that I speak to at the moment, whereby maybe just for this one season, fingers crossed, it's going to have to be a season without these kind of overseas talents adding to the mixture?
That's precisely the case in our case, because we had a young lad last year, Nathan Smith, who is a Kiwi, and he did come over and was planning to come over this mm-hmm. year, but from the point of view of both parties, it was just not going to work. Bearing in mind, we didn't know whether we were going to start at all, and mm-hmm. secondly, from his point of view, he could continue playing in New Zealand, so he's doing that. We hope he might come back next year. We're in discussions with him, obviously, at the end of the season, but yes, no benefit from an overseas player this year, but despite that, we're still enjoying the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's no promotion, no relegation, no championship, really. But as a reference, no. Things that I love about this Hertfordshire Saracens Premier Division is this local rivalry. It really is almost a derby week in and week out. So yes, you must know the players know each other, the umpires know each other very well. But as much as points are at stake, you can't really put a price on that kind of local bragging right quality, can you?
No, exactly. It's good rivalry. I mean, very occasionally it overflows, but it all is over when the game's over. There's a bit of spice involved in it, but not so much this year. But I think there's still competitive. It's still competitive cricket, despite there's nothing on the games, effectively, in terms of points or, as you say, promotion, relegation, nothing else in it. No other cup competitions either. We had to cancel all of those mm-hmm. for obvious reasons. Just won't be able to fit them in. So yeah, it's good rivalry, as you say, number of local clubs, and it's remarkable how some of the top clubs are all fairly close to each other in this neck of the woods in Hertfordshire.
Absolutely, but again, historically, Radlett are the Rolls Royce and defending champions, and what a good start to the campaign. Ostensibly played four, I think there was one game abandoned, but three wins out of the three real matches. Started with a bang, didn't it? As you say, protracted, I think it was July the 18th, but a 167-run comprehensive shellacking, I think it's fair to say, of North Mimms to kick things off. That must have always be good to dust off those cobwebs with an explosive performance like that.
It did help, yes. And Mims are having a little bit of a tough time right at the moment for various reasons, but they're a lot of youngsters playing in their side. But it was a good one for us because we picked up Dominic Chatfield, who was the captain of Bishop Stortford last year and moved to us this year. And he started off with a ton, so that's a good start for him as well. And it was a comprehensive win, as you say, but a good way to start.
Again, moving on to another one of those local rivals, a team this season not really faring too well. They're yet to register a victory. Harpenden, and you beat them by 4 wickets in the second match. And then continuing this typical Radler, Rolls-Royce-esque start to the campaign, another strong win last weekend against Totteridge Mill Hillions, winning by 8 runs. So 3 from 3, Tony Johnson. Literally a perfect start to the campaign.
It was indeed. Yes, and the only game I actually saw full on was the, it wasn't full on, it was West Hearts. And unfortunately, that one was the one that was rained off. And we were just getting back in after they started well. So, you know, it could have been 4 out of 4, but certainly it's been a great start.
Really has been, but my goodness me, there's a juicy, mouth-watering encounter between two unbeaten teams this weekend, weather permitting, fingers crossed. Yes. As we've referenced, Radlett, unbeaten, 3 wins from ostensibly 4 matches, 85 points. Despite that perfect record, only in third in the league at the moment. And coming to town at these wonderful Radlett facilities are second placed, well, in Garden City. But my goodness me, as an objective fan of cricket, as a lover of domestic sports at this kind of grassroots level, I'm loving the top of this league at the moment. Well, in Garden City, who come to Radlett on Saturday, perfect start to their campaign, 3 wins, 88 points, just 3 points above. And Potters Bar, level on points with Welling Garden City, currently top the league. It's a juicy one on Saturday, isn't it? My word.
It is, yeah. Effectively, we're all really on the same points. However, it's just a difference because our game was cancelled earlier, so we had less extra points, if you like. But 3 out of 3, Potters Bar, as you say as well. It's nip and tuck, as it often is. And it's going to be a good one, I hope. And we do rely on, well, it's the thunder and lightning has just started again here. So let's hope to God it stays off until Saturday night.
Put it this way, I shan't be singing in the shower or anything like that. I don't think the way. Fingers crossed that play carries on. Well, again, a perfect start to the season, Tony. Always when I speak to kind of the local cricketing fraternity, I do like to pick their informed cricketing minds with a bigger picture. And I just want to whip us back a week because, goodness me, what an event, what a great reflection of Test match cricket was last week's epic, where England got the 10th highest second innings run chase, and often unheralded Chris Wokes, who we've interviewed. Check him out on our podcasting on www.radiobradham.com podcast section. Chris Wokes really shone an unbeaten 84 as England inexorably hauled down Pakistan's lead. Great advert for Test cricket, wasn't it?
Absolutely, and I'm really pleased for him because with his batting boots on, he hadn't performed all that well and there were questions about whether he should be in the side, but he was just the right time for him to get a big score, did really well, and his bowling great as well. So, yeah, glad to see him make the grade, as it were, and prove that he is worth having in the side. He made such a difference.
He truly was the star man of the match performance. But it's always, you know, Tony, how critical partnerships are in any form of cricket.
Absolutely.
And I've got to tell you, we speak about achievement there. We speak about guts and character. Joss Butler truly embodied, personified all those great qualities. Under pressure, hadn't really registered a great score himself recently.
Exactly.
Obviously, didn't necessarily keep wicket, you know, at his highest level. So feeling the pressure and his sort of fluidity of stroke, almost taking it into a one-day mode alongside Chris Wokes, I thought was just immense character. Just quickly, your thoughts on that partnership and, again, the strength of will and character that Butler demonstrated under intense scrutiny.
Well, it was a combination of two different styles because we know that Butler can really, he can go from one type to the other, but he generally spends most of his time really hitting the ball. Beautiful to watch, very powerful. And Wokes a bit more of a worker, if you like, but it is possible, as he proves, that they could both change style. And it actually dovetailed really nicely for them to come up with that partnership. And it was just at the right time for both of them in terms of their previous performances, but also just to prove that they are key players to have come in at that stage of the game.
I think, again, it's a bit of a cliche, but cricket was the big winner here. Obviously, a great win for England. Just a reflection of everything that is great about Test match cricket. The game ebbed and flowed, and characters starred at the right moment. And just really, for me, as a massive fan of Test match cricket, I was in hog heaven last weekend. Truly, I was. I'm sure many listening were too. We see it continues on. Again, it goes ever apace. Clearly, there are no spectators, but it is a spectacular test series, this one against the ever-passionate Pakistan outfit. And England in the ascendancy on day one, again, curtailed slightly by rain. But Anderson has come to the party. Never rule that man out. I tell you what, never rule James Anderson out. 2 wickets today, 126 for 5. England look to be in the driving seat of this one.
Yeah, sadly, I haven't seen any of it, unfortunately. Every time I went to see what's happening, it was raining. And they were looking at the covers. So I missed the early, was it 30-odd overs, I think, at the start. 45 in total, was it? But Anderson, what, he's two wickets away from the big one, isn't he, at the moment? 700, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. He's hunting it down. Right. Surely he's going to claim that.
He will do it. Yeah, and 38 or whatever he is, he's a fine player still.
And remarkably fit. So to keep your body as a fast bowler, anybody who's ever endeavoured to do that, it's just a little bit freakish. The human body isn't really designed for that type of sprint and then explosive unleash of a cricket ball. And to do that, as I say, for so consistently for so long, what a star. Again, just final point though, how privileged have we been in as fans of Test cricket, as fans of fast bowling in this era, to also have Stuart Broad in tandem with James Anderson. Again, another landmark for him in the earlier series against West Indies. Tony, I'd love your thoughts on those pair in their place in the history of the all-time great pairings of fast bowlers.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, I'm old enough to remember Truman and Statham as a partnership. So they were, to me, two of the best, but these two characters are incredible. We're privileged, as you say, to be able to see two of the best world's bowlers performing on our stage is fantastic, and delighted. And they're going to continue for a little while yet. They're not finished by any way, so they're going to be up there with some of the best.
I mean, for me, I always think of Kirtley Ambrose and Courtney Walsh. Again, obviously, Lily and his partnership. There's been so many greats. Yeah. But goodness me, they're statistically up there. And again, they've always had that capability, haven't they? When the chips are down, they've found that wicket. And that's what makes them so special. We've been honoured and privileged to enjoy their work. I've been honoured and privileged to enjoy your time, Tony. Just in closing again, your thoughts ahead of the big one, weather permitting, fingers crossed, Radlett against Welland Garden City. Two unbeaten teams collide. It's a juicy one. I'm excited. Quickly, your final thoughts as we build towards this big fixture on Saturday.
Yes, well, we're doing the old rain dance to make sure it does stay away. So I think from our point of view, really looking forward to it. It's the game of the season usually. And we love beating them and vice versa. They can't wait to get one over on us. But I'm ever hopeful, so I'll be there, subject to. Yeah, great stuff.
Excellent. Well, it's been great stuff to talk with you. Tony, please do send my best wishes and the team here at Verum Sport Podcasting's best wishes to the Rolls-Royce of the league, Radlett, as they collide against fellow unbeaten Welland Garden City. It's going to be special, I'm sure, weather permitting, and I'm certainly not going to be doing any singing. Tony, again, thanks for your time. It is massively appreciated. All the very best to you.
Thank you very much, Tony. Thank you.
We've heard earlier tonight from Tony Johnson from the Rolls-Royce of the league, Radlett Cricket Club. And now it's delighted to have back with us Rupert Garrett representing Harpenden Cricket Club. Good evening, Rupert. How are you?
I'm all right, Tony. Thanks. I'm okay. I'm enjoying a bit of rain for a change, but apart from that, I'm well. Thank you.
I'll tell you what, it has been sweltering. We hope rain won't adversely affect the cricket this weekend because, of course, we are delighted. We spoke last week that the local cricket scene is back. Rupert, as you explained last time we spoke, strange year really for us all. Obviously a protracted start. No promotion or relegation this year in the Saracens Hearts Premier Division, but so much pride as always to play for. Just whip us back in time a week, though. Three straight defeats now for Harpenden, who lost against high-flying Welland Garden City last weekend. Just your thoughts on that fixture and what was positive and what lessons have been learnt?
Yeah, another disappointing defeat. The overall experience won the day. Harpenden were a bit light on runs, only got 170-odd. It was probably nearer 250 wicket than maybe 220. But again, they bowled very well. At one stage, they had well in 90 for six, and then two more experienced players batted very sensibly and saw them home. So depressing, but I do think that there's real, they're going to get it right soon. I'll be amazed. I think last week I jokingly said if Harpenden lose every game, I can't see them losing every game, and they have played three of the stronger teams. Mm-hmm. So depressing, but definitely the batting, they need to get more runs. The bowlers are good enough to take on most sides. The batting needs to perform better.
I tell you what, though, again, it's a strange one, isn't it? Because obviously, if you just glanced at that on paper, it looks quite a sour reading, three straight defeats. But in all of them, in contention, and sometimes that's what you ask for. But there's a strange one, isn't there, when there's this cultural shift, which sometimes happens, where you go from competing to almost expecting to win in these narrow encounters. Just what do you think is required to make that shift happen?
That's a very good question. I probably think that Harpenden got a very young side, Tony. I think the two or three older experienced players mm-hmm. need to really come to the fore at pressure moments. I think you hit it bang on the head. You know, all three games have been close up to a point, and then experience has shone through. So the flip side of that is, of course, okay, well, hang on. There are some players at Harpenden who played cricket mm-hmm. for, in their 30s rather than 20s. So I think it's those crucial moments, just, a bit of experience, maybe taking a bit more time to decide what to do. But I think that, there's a possibility that can easily change.
No, as I say, I think there's definitely causes for optimism there, and we'll build up to this weekend's fixture. Please, goodness me, the weather permits it to go on. But just quickly, coming back there, it sounds to me at the moment, from what you've witnessed, that the bowlers are certainly holding their end up, so to speak, to put it in the cricketing lexicon. But the batsmen need to step up a notch. The critical thing always is, I know it's a bit of a cricketing cliche, just how critical partnership is. Has there been that issue that you've witnessed from the batting perspective where they're not building those partnerships which then enable a bigger total to be developed?
Yeah, very much so. I think there's another cliche in cricket. If you lose one wicket, you don't want to lose another wicket quickly. And Harpenden tending to losing wickets in clusters. Mm. Which used to be levelled at England for some time. Whereas, of course, now England hopefully have openers that might not score quickly but will stay in. And on Saturday, Harpenden didn't bat their full overs. I think in one-day cricket, you have to bat your overs mm-hmm. psychologically. You're dead right. I think it's back to the senior players again. Some of the top five batsmen have got more experience. They need to, even if we go slowly, we need to be 100 for two, not 100 for four, or 50 for one, not 50 for three, and stuff like that. And not expect the lower, younger members to have to score, 100 runs in the last 20 overs or win the game. That should be the job of the top five batsmen.
I'm certainly sure that that's the formula that will be worked on very ardently, no doubt, by everybody involved there. Before we move forward to this upcoming fixture against Reed, I'd just like you to just remind us, because obviously it's great to talk about the first 11 there in the highest echelon of the local cricketing scene, the Saracens Hearts Premier Division. But I think sometimes it's important to appreciate the bigger picture. And it was wonderful to hear, Rupert, when we spoke last week, that seven teams were being put out from Harpenden. That's got to be great. There's got to be an overall sense of a great place to be. Just talk to us about how important that overall Harpenden culture is.
Yes, unfortunately, the seventh team didn't play, but ask as the Oppo cried off, not Arp. Anyway, yes, I think it's very important because any sporting club, Tony, the youth, you need him to hopefully be playing in the first or second or third team in 5 or 10 years' time. Now, yes, we're living in unreal time, so obviously every club will have more kids at home now than normal because they're not on holiday, or they haven't, you know, they haven't been at school for obvious reasons, or they haven't been away at college or university. So I think we've always had a very strong cults and youth section, and because of that, you know, we're able to put out availability is incredibly strong. But I also heard actually Red Bull last week put out five teams as well, so which is great for cricket in Hertfordshire as a whole. But yes, I think it's great that young kids are playing cricket, and long may that carry on.
Absolutely. Again, as you said beautifully last week, to utilise another cliche, at the moment cricket is the bigger winner, and that's so, so critical. Moving on though to this coming fixture, again, weather permitting, against Reed. Looks a winnable fixture. Reed are in fifth at the moment, but with just one win from their three fixtures. And whilst, again, no wins at all for Harpenden, currently ninth in the league, a big victory and a few things going your way could see you really rocket up the league, couldn't it?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, I heard things crossed say about the weather. I think we'd be wrong to underestimate Reed. As I said last week, they won the village knockout a couple of years ago. They've been to Lords twice, I think. They've got quite a settled side. They're at home. They know their ground quite well. And even a bit like Harpen, the games they've lost, they haven't lost heavily. So I think, again, I see no reason why it won't be a close game. But again, obviously, I would hope that Harpen can come out on top this time.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll look forward to learning all about that. Moments ago, we were talking about cricket being the big winner, and how amazing was the last Test match between England and Pakistan? I got to tell you, as a bit of a dinosaur, me, I'm a Test match man over one day ODIs, and certainly over T20. See them; they have their place, but I'm always going to be a Test match man. And I know the game is evolved and it is quicker, but at the end of the day, for me, as an advert for Test match cricket, it had all the ebb and flow, all the kind of character under duress that's made me fall in love with the game of Test match cricket. Rupert, as another cricketing man, your thoughts on England's efforts against Pakistan in that first Test?
No, I couldn't agree, Tony. He had everything. I mean, people forget that we lost 24 out. A day was lost to rain.
Yeah.
And then for the first 3.5 days, really, Pakistan were on top. They'd out-bowled and out-batted England. But England went totally out of the game. England needed something special to happen. And you might recall that Ben Stokes wasn't technically able to bowl, but he came on at a pretty crucial time and got two quick wickets.
And as is his tendency, as we spoke
indeed,
about last week.
Yes, he is. And that's why he's such an important part of the team. Interesting to see how they go with him without him in this Test match. But then moving ahead, obviously, you know, England, all the experts thought that 277 was too many runs for the last innings, and I think only one or twice had that score been achieved at that ground in the fourth innings.
I think, I might be wrong, but I believe that it's actually the 10th highest all-time second innings kind of run chase. So just to give it its kind of historical context, the efforts there from England in that run chase.
Oh, for sure. And again, I think, Tony, the fact that, you know, our four or five main batsmen were out, the Root was out, Stokes was out, and it was left to Wokes and Butler, two very, very capable players, but two players probably who are more acknowledged as being one-day batsmen. But it was a great, and against a very strong, but young, I think, young Pakistan attack, apart from a leg spinner. And it was an incredible achievement. I think no one thought they were going to win. And I had the bookies, I'm sure the odds would have been massively in favour. Well, Crickbiz, when I was watching it, did at one stage had Pakistan 70% likely to win, England 30%. And so a great win. I think one of the all-time, and it was very sad, obviously no crowds were there, but I think Sky had very high viewing figures for it. So it was a very exciting and memorable Test match.
Once again, coming back to that mantra that we've discussed, cricket again being the big winner there. We're talking about big winners. We were lucky to interview, actually, Chris Wokes recently on Verum Sport Podcasting. Do check that out. Again, it's available on the website. Find the podcasting section. Find the Chris Wokes interview. He was, of course, discussing the famous, every inch's bit of kind of character-driven sporting theatre in that home ODI World Cup victory. But goodness me, for so long, he's almost become the unsung hero. And what character did he display? 84 not out for Chris. Man of the match performance. A real kind of underrated, I would say, star for this England team. He really manned up. But just before I get your thoughts on that, just advocate the devil here, Rupert. I was surprised, and there many other pundits were, that he wasn't given many more kind of headache juice bowls. He's often a bit weak when the pacers do bowl the bouncers to him. It was, I'm not saying they made it easy for him, but I just felt that he was unable to build an innings. Just thoughts overall on the Woke's effort and maybe your take on the way the Pakistan chose to attack him, maybe less aggressively than maybe they wish they had.
Yes, the latter point first, yeah. In the first innings, they hit him on the helmet with a bouncer and he didn't look very happy. And all the experts thought that the second innings, the Pakistanis would bounce him more, and they didn't. And the longer it went on, the more confident he got. So, yes, I do think the Pakistanis missed a trick there, definitely. I think we talked about, yes, your other point, he's a very nice guy. And I think, again, that some of the pundits are saying he should be a bit less of a nice guy, i.e., not just nod and say, as and when he gets dropped, make a big fuss about it like Stuart, like Broad did. Yeah. And if he wants to bowl, go up to the captain and say, look, I want to bowl here. You know, I feel I can get as many wickets here as Anderson and Broad. But what a great situation bringing to have. And another very talented all-rounder who... he's made a test 100 before. He probably would have made 100 in that game and a match-winning innings. He's a very good bowler. And it's good to have a balance. You know, if we had 11 Broads, it would be quite an aggressive, maybe unpopular side. I think you do need a balance. He's a great cricketer. And I think he's going to be he's going to be around the England team, I hope, for a long time.
Great points. Early on, though, when we were circling back to Harpenden, we were talking about the importance of partnership. That pertains in bowling, but certainly from a batting perspective. And Woakes was joined by Butler, who himself was under intense pressure, not had a big innings for a little while. And, of course, he is the crucial wicketkeeper, and his performance behind the stumps was less than stellar in that game. So, again, coming in under pressure... you wouldn't have known it if you hadn't known that. It just looks so relaxed from the moment he arrived at the crease. But just reminders of that character demonstrated by Butler in tandem with Woakes, making this almost unrealistic victory a real reality.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. I think Woakes, Butler, they reckon, had Butler failed, he probably would have been dropped. I think if Woakes got out for naught, he wouldn't have been dropped, but he's in the side primarily for his bowling. But let's face it, Butler, you know, the England side do expect our keepers to score runs. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've been lucky over the years with Matt Prior and Johnny Bairstow. But there are other very good keepers waiting in the wings. There's a guy called Ben Foulkes, who a lot of people think is the best keeper in the country. But anyway, Butler's still got the role. Yes, he's still got to probably improve, well, not improve his keeping, but maybe less mistakes. It's so every catch you drop is visible. But I think he was under huge pressure, as you say. I think, you know, probably going out thinking, if I don't get runs here, I'm going to get dropped. And I think, again, probably Woakes batting with him probably helped Butler there. But I think they get on well. Well, they spend a lot. You score a big partnership, you're going to spend a couple of hours together. But I think it was a great, and I think both of them will really benefit from that in pressure situations. And let's hope that they can help England win more test matches in the future.
Absolutely, and we're moving into the second test match. Got underway today, slightly rain curtailed, but a good start from England in the ascendancy. And, you know, we eulogised, and I think quite rightly, about Broad and his efforts last week. But his old buddy, James Anderson's come to the party big today. Two wickets out of those five. England have 126. Pakistan 126. England have taken five wickets. So certainly England are on the front foot. But again, rule out Anderson at your peril. Hey, he's such a performer. And I almost felt he kind of felt himself that he owed the team a performance today and duly delivered.
Yes, especially in England. Like in England, you know, he's definitely in an England Test match. You definitely pick him, and many countries. Now, going off, should he open the bowling in Australia in 2 years' time? Well, that's maybe another debate. Should he open this winter in India? Probably. I know we're digressing a bit, but in England, he is the best bowler, I think. Well, his record, he and Broad's over 1,000 wickets. Yeah, he was very angry, I think, that the press got on his back in the last test match. He needed a point to prove. And again, that's a sign, going back to maybe with Harford and players, you know, they're great players, don't they? Under pressure, they deliver in all sports. You know, Federer in tennis, or I was going to say Maradona, but, you know, Messi in football, you name it. When the pressure's on and their team needs them, they come to the fore. And Anderson did that, did that this morning, because, you know, while it was good bowling conditions in Pakistan, and I know it's rain affected, if Pakistan overnight had been 100 for no wicket or one, they'd be on top. But 106 for five, as you said, Tony, England, I think, are in front at the moment.
Looking strong, and again, cricket being the big victor. And we're just delighted it's back, and we're delighted it's back on the local scene as Harpenden look to get their first victory of the campaign, travelling to Reed on Saturday. Rupert, finally, your final thoughts ahead of this another local derby coming up.
Yeah, it's a new ground for Harpenden. It's sort of the other side of the county. Yeah, let's hope it's not rain affected. And you've got to get into every game with confidence, but hopefully learn from mistakes you made last week. There are a couple of changes in the team. It doesn't matter the personnel, but it's a slightly change. Obviously, the selectors feel the two changes have made the side a bit stronger, beefed up the batting a little bit. So again, as is every weekend, Harpenden will be going in quietly confident.
Appreciate that, and always, Rupert, appreciate your time and insights. And I look forward to picking things back up with you very soon indeed, as hopefully with a first victory under the belt again in that big crunch, travelling away to Reed on Saturday.